welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
For a reasonable period of time, God has been nudging me to minister on a particular subject. I'm going to do that today. I'm going to probably just start it today. But it is an important one. Need for us to be responsive to God when He speaks to us. It's like when you're reading the Bible. You know, you can just read, and then if you're sensitive to God, you hear Him say something to you. You stop there, and what is this? That's God getting your attention. Go look at it more. Research what it's saying. Find some other scripture, parallel scriptures, because God's got something to say to you at that time. And the thing that God has been speaking to me about, and it's vital in this end time, especially where we are today, is the kingdom of God. If you've got your pen and your notepad, you should take these scriptures down. I'm going to just take you through some scriptures just to start this morning. The kingdom of God. Let me just make a couple of early statements concerning the kingdom. Without an understanding of the kingdom of God, without a revelation concerning what the Word of God says about the kingdom of God, you and I will never understand the church. You will never understand the church. And we can be just locked into, well, church is a place you go to on Sunday. Yes, I know that, but I'm a Christian, you see, and I go to the house of the Lord to worship my God. But you'll never understand the scriptures concerning God's plan for the church if you don't understand the kingdom. I'm going to just take you through a few scriptures. I think that's the best way for me to start. Let's just start straight in at Matthew 4 and verse 17. From that time, Jesus began, just breaking into this passage, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So here we have an introduction to the kingdom of God, and Jesus drawing our attention to it. Jesus saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That means turn around. Take notice that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Because we'll probably read some other versions of the kingdom, like the kingdom of heaven, but also the kingdom of God. Let me remind you that the scripture is interchangeable there in using the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. It's the same kingdom. Okay? So the kingdom of God is the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of God when God's referring to it. So in verse 17, the Bible's saying the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, a kingdom is always related to a king. There's no kingdom without a king. And that implies that the king is the one who rules over that territory, over that land, over that people. So a kingdom is an area that has a king who governs it supremely. So when the Bible talks to us about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, God is making us aware of the dominion that He has under His control and His plans for it. For He is the one who has dominion over the kingdom of heaven or His kingdom, which is called as well the same, the kingdom of God. So it's important for us to be mindful of how the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven is used interchangeably. I just want to lay a few simple thoughts down before we go too far. Back to verse 17 then here. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, I've already communicated briefly that the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, is a place where God rules and reigns, where he is the father of all those who are with him in that kingdom. Just like my children, I'm father to them and I'm going to be there for them. As you, if you're a father, you're going to be there for your children. God, our heavenly father, is there for us. I was translated, and you were if you're born again. You were translated out of the kingdom of darkness, where Satan rules and reigns, and translated, the Bible says, into the kingdom of God's dear Son. When I gave my life to Jesus, I was living in the kingdom of darkness and didn't know it. But when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit, I was translated out of the kingdom of darkness. No longer was Satan now in charge of my life. I was translated into the kingdom of God, where God now was my daddy. Hallelujah. And you know, fathers love their children. And we're loved by God. And so God, our Father, has said to us here through Jesus Christ, he said, the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, is at hand. In other words, it's within reach. First thing we need to remind ourselves of, for if we're unsaved today, if we're not in God's kingdom today, if we're living in our own little world with a bunch of friends, cohorts, whatever you want, that the kingdom of God is available to you. Kingdom of God is at hand. It's available. It's within reach. Praise the Lord. Isn't that awesome? My wife right now is nearly within reach of me. I get a little bit nearer, she's in reach. But the Bible says that God's kingdom is already, you have no stretching to do, it's already within the reach of yourself. Hallelujah. The choice is yours. If you're not born again this morning, the choice is yours. Whether you want to live in the kingdom and have God as your father, or stay where you are with the devil doing what he wants in your life. Praise the Lord. The choice is ours. And if we're in the kingdom of God, we're able to declare that God is my father and I'm in the kingdom of God. I'm in God's sphere of justice, love, provision, protection, and total control. Hallelujah. Anyone born again, that was a brief description of who we are and where we are. We're not alone. Praise God, we're not. Problem is with us for too long, too often, we just think with this and without the Word of God being in it. That's why the Bible says you need to renew your mind daily. How do we renew our mind daily? Renew our mind by reading the Word, hearing what God says, hearing what belongs to me, hearing how much God loves me. And as a result of that, I become somebody who is able to enjoy being in the kingdom of God, because he's my daddy. And it's the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God is a place that is within reach of everybody. And it's God's kingdom. Now, I've said already, but before I say what I was going to say there, let me take you to some more scriptures. Matthew chapter 4, let's go over to verse 23 and verse 24. When Jesus went about Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching, listen to this, the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. Now, we have there a wonderful expression and communication to us of how much God loves us. Now, the Bible says, as we've just read, that Jesus went about all Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. He went around preaching that gospel. That word gospel simply means the message of the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is a place of righteousness, peace, and joy. We'll look at that again. But preaching the message of the kingdom. And as you read on to verse 24 and 25, which I've just read, you start to realize that this place, this kingdom, is an awesome place. Because in this kingdom, Jesus went around doing good, healing all that were oppressed, healing the sick. And the people started to draw nigh to him because of what was taking place. In other words, the kingdom of God is a dominion where God is the Lord, God is in control, and within that dimension, all things are possible. All things are possible. And that means for you and I who live within there, two things. One, that we're able to receive from God all things that we stand in need of. Two, that we are, as a result, enabled ourselves, being members of the kingdom, to be able to minister the life of the kingdom to others. Awesome. We have a long way to go. We just introduced it this morning. And Jesus went about all Galilee teaching the gospel of the kingdom. And here it is. This is the gospel of the kingdom, healing the sick and all kinds of diseases among the people. And his fame went around and people just got caught up with this wonderful message. Their lives were being changed. Something supernatural had suddenly started to take place in their lives. There was a hope. There was an expectation where before this, there was nothing. There was nothing. They just had their own imagination to try and work some things out whereby they could accomplish something else. Turn with me to chapter 24 of Matthew's gospel. Just to take us on a brief and simple journey to lay a foundation. And Matthew writes here, he's writing, he said, "This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, then the end shall come." How about that? This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then shall the end come. There's so much there. If this gospel of the kingdom, as this gospel of the kingdom covers the nations of the earth, in other words, it's the word of God has reached nations, the love of God through Jesus Christ who died to save those who would repent and call upon him, ask him into their lives as their savior. Doesn't matter where it was going to be changed. Forever it's going to be changed. So once that message had reached all the nations, we have an indication here now that something great is going to take place. At the end of all this, something great is going to take place. It says, then shall the end be. You know, the need for us to be able to know what God is doing at any particular time is vital. And the only way that we can be informed of that is reading the scriptures. Because the scripture is already telling us again, as I've said here, that this gospel is going to be preached. And then the end will come. Jesus, the end of time, is the coming of Jesus again. That's the end of time. Why does the Bible put it that way? And then the end. Jesus is coming back. Because it's given this whole planet and every nation on the planet the opportunity to give their lives to Jesus, to come into a living relationship with God through Jesus Christ. It's given everyone the opportunity. So there is no one that can say it wasn't fair. I was in this country and we've never heard of it before. Well, every nation is going to hear it, and then the Lord's coming. Lord's coming, and I want to tell you, from my knowledge of the ministry that takes place around the world, there's little by way of people that have not heard the gospel as of today. Little. The missionary work that's going on today is absolutely, well, the only way I think I can describe it from the reports I see and have and some of the people I meet is absolutely supernatural. God is working by His Spirit in unbelievable fashions. The end time. And so we're talking about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God being reached. So the kingdom of God, we've come to verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Romans 14:17 is a very powerful passage. It says, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, in the Holy Ghost. Think about that. If you're in the kingdom, and if you're not, and you want this, a place of righteousness, peace, and joy. Oh, praise the Lord. There's only one place you're going to find that. It's in God's kingdom. It's in it's by accepting the finished work of Jesus Christ, who so loved you and me that He gave His own life that we might be born again. The kingdom of God is a family, is a kingdom that is owned by God that we are translated into when we give our lives to Jesus. We leave the kingdom of darkness behind and we enter into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So the kingdom of God is important for us to have a grasp of. In verse 17 of Romans 14 that I started to speak of there, it says this, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. The kingdom of God, now it's a dimension of life in the spiritual realm with God, because the Bible says man is a spirit. This morning, whether you are born again or not, there's a spiritual life in you because God created man in His own image. And there's a spiritual life in every one of us. Your life, spiritual life may be dead this morning, and it is, the Bible says, dead in trespass and in sin if you haven't invited Jesus Christ to become your burden bearer, your sin bearer, and who paid the price for your guilt and mine on the cross. And so the scripture's talking in Matthew 14:17, it says kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. He's drawing a demarcation line there. He's telling us what the kingdom of God isn't. It isn't just existing. It isn't just eating and drinking and maintaining the ability to be able to breathe and the strength in your body to be able to move around and do things. He says the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Praise the Lord. It's something far beyond that. I want to tell you, some people have suggested that you and I came from monkeys. Well, I didn't. But I want to tell you, monkeys eat and drink. Do you know why? Simply to exist. The kingdom of God is not a place where you just exist. The kingdom of God is a place where you live and demonstrate the presence of God who created the heavens and the earth, and you demonstrate that presence by the manifestation in your lives that your Father is God. Hallelujah. And with Him there is nothing that shall ever be impossible. There's not a day that finds a circumstance that's bigger than you. Why? Because God's your Father, and His Word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. The Bible says this word is a sharp two-edged sword in our hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says that this Bible is a hammer that breaks rocks into pieces. That's the power of this word. Because that's the embodiment of my Father. That's the embodiment of my Savior, Jesus Christ. So the Bible says the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not meat and drink. It's not just existing. It's not just being able to eat enough to stay strong, to get up the next day and dress and look presentable and be able to talk to people. No, that's existing. It's living the life of God. It's living with the divinity of the Godhead inside of you. Praise the Lord. I'm here this morning, and you may recognize it, you may not recognize it, but I want to tell you, and you can go out afterwards and say, listen, we need to send somebody up to BCC. There's a man there, I think it's the pastor, who needs some certification taking place. But I want to tell you, there's someone living in me that gives me the ability to walk in day after day in the ability with all things being possible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've got a Savior who's not just a figment of my imagination or just fills my mind, but does no more than that. Kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It is righteousness, peace and joy. Peace and joy. Three powerful words there. It is righteousness, peace and joy. Peace and joy are the products. How many people enjoy peace and joy? Anyone here? If you don't raise your hand, I know you don't want peace and joy. You love the state you're in. Peace and joy. Well, the Bible says there is something that comes before peace and joy. Peace and joy does not exist on its own. Peace and joy on its own is something that you and I somehow have been able to conjure up by way of circumstance that creates a bit of joy or something. But the peace and joy that God is talking about is a freedom from bondage and guilt and shame and impossible circumstances all the time. All the time. As a result of what? Righteousness. God is righteous. Hallelujah. God is righteous. When I was born again through the finished work of Jesus Christ, I was made righteous. What I do with that righteousness is important. What do you mean, what do you do with that righteousness, Pastor? If I'm righteous, then I need to walk righteously. But how do you walk righteously, Pastor? What is righteousness? Righteousness is God's right way, simply put. Simply put. In fact, the scripture tells me in 1 Corinthians, 15:21, it says that when I gave my life to Jesus, I became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The scripture says that God took Jesus, who knew no sin, and made him to be sin for me, that I might become the righteousness of God. Glory to God. So that means that today, right now, I am God indwelt, and the ability of God is in me as I walk by faith and according to righteousness. What is righteousness? Taking this word, reading it, and believing it, and living it, like you believe it's absolutely true to life. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. But the Bible also reminds us this, that faith is not pie in the sky. Faith isn't, oh, I believe. What do you believe? Some people interchange believing for faith. And faith for believing, but you can't do that. What do you believe? Faith comes by faith, not believe. Faith comes by hearing. What? Hearing what? And hearing by the word of God. We got to preach and teach this word, not sermons. We will never be changed to the glory of God. Our circumstances will never be changed, though you even hear me talk the way I'm talking this morning, until you believe this word. And read it for yourself. And dare to believe that this is the word of God, because it is. Hallelujah. This word will never fail. We've already held our Bibles up and says this word will never fail. This word cannot fail. The Bible says in the volume of the book, it's written of me, Jesus, praise God, is the beginning and the end. Is the Alpha and the Omega. Oh, glory to God. I want to tell you, we're talking about something so exciting when we talk about the kingdom of God. And unless we understand the kingdom of God, I don't see the clock there, I'm going to have to stop. We will never understand the church or the part that you and I are called to within the life of the church. Never understand it. We'll be like some of our traditional churches for centuries have lived, and it's not their fault. They've lived in a traditional way. Well, you go to church, and the church is the building. I want to tell you, in this house, the church is not the building. The church is the body of Christ. Built together, the Bible says, the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. It may be abrupt, but I'm going to close it there. There's so much to talk about. We will pick it up next Sunday, God willing. I want to tell you, the kingdom of God is directly and completely and wholly related to the church. And if we don't understand how, why, and the purpose, then the plan and purpose of God will never be outworked. Never be outworked. I'm not going to give you any more than that tonight. This morning, we'll talk about it next week and try and keep it concise and short, but we'll talk about it. Kingdom of God, remember this, is not meat and drink. It's not meat and drink. But it is righteousness, peace, and joy. And the Bible says if you and I were born again, we have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness, the scripture tells us in Ephesians, into God, the kingdom of God's dear Son. That's where we are. And if we are there, then we are called to righteousness, peace, and joy.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that He will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.